Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone. This is Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, here with this episode of Talking Up Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation. I'm in Palm Springs, California. We're live at the National Association for School Music Dealers National Conference here in this beautiful setting. And I'm here with Fred Schiff. Welcome, Fred.
Thank you, Mary. It's great to be here.
The conference just started last night. Is that right?
It did.
And we have a full day of meetings and events.
Meetings and music and education for the members. Right. It's going to be an awesome time.
Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the special things happening. But first of all, to our listeners, share a little bit about your background.
Well, NESMD is the cornerstone of education for our company, All County Music, and we're located in South Florida. We've been going here for decades. When my parents started the store, this is where they cut their teeth. And once I joined them in the business, this is where I learned best practices from people who were doing it. And so it gave us a much more global perspective on how to run businesses, the things that we do well and the things that we needed to improve or things we need to just cut out, period.
Yeah, this conference is comprised of folks that are dedicated to supporting and serving school music programs. It's a very unique niche group that's come together from all over the country.
It's quite specialized, yeah. And there are people here who have been doing it for decades, 50 years, 100-year-old companies that have figured out how to help the music educators and that base to make sure that they have the things that they need. And we're happy to be part of it.
And like everything in life, we learn best from our peers.
Yeah, we do.
So always talking at music education, the second question is your musical origin story. Because so many, as you are, very important people in our field, in many fields, be it journalism or musical performance, there is a story that is, it has some similarities, but it's all unique and different. It goes back to, who were your first teachers? What was your first opportunities? Was it school? Was it community? What's your origin story, instrument?
Our origin story really starts with my grandfather, who had an accordion studio in Brooklyn. He started the business, and unfortunately, he died a very young man. But my dad and my uncle took over that business of teaching accordion. My dad got a taste of Florida, so he decided that he really wanted to move to Florida.
I love that accordion. What was the decades? What were the span of decades?
1940s.
Right when every
business started, right?
Right when everybody was, when music in the home became.
Correct. And both my grandfather, from what I understand, and my dad and my uncle, you know, would go to the homes and teach accordion as well as people coming into the studio.
Did you play?
I did not. My older brother played the accordion.
Yeah.
But it didn't do well.
But music was totally in the ether. It was totally the family.
Always around us.
Right.
You couldn't escape music.
Right. And what was your first dip in learning an instrument?
I finally started in seventh grade in the school band, and I was a saxophone player. Mm-hmm. And then that was in New York. We moved to Florida when I was in eighth grade. But Profound Effects started really in high school. And I had some very fine teachers, Dr. Bentley Schellehammer, who became the marching band director at Florida State University. That's where I got my education of music and learned how to be disciplined about it and learned how to practice and really learned how to love it and to be part of an ensemble. It was great to be part of the band where you met your friends. And I still, to this day, my best lifelong friends are some of the friends I had from high school band.
Isn't this an amazing theme that just flows through all music making? I mean, here you are, really important part of our industry, teaching and helping so many other people to be successful in school music businesses. And at the base of it was something that happened early in life.
Of those experiences and because it was such a good experience of how those things happened that I'm able to relate to our customers, whether they be, a 14-year-old trumpet player or a band director going through the beginnings or later on in their career, that I get to hone in from those experiences. I get to grab from them and say, hey, I remember doing something similar when I was a student, and then adding on what I know as an adult.
That's great. But we have to say, in this origin story, it didn't go straight into the music business.
It did not.
You had a, tell us what that little, not necessarily a sidetrack, but it was part of the journey. What was that?
Absolutely. I swore that I would never, quote, count reeds for a living and be into the same business as my mother and father. So I have a degree in finance. All the while, I was still playing in the college jazz bands. And every summer, I was still conducting a community jazz band made up of college and high school students. And I wasn't much older than they were anyhow. So my foot was always in it. But I was a bank vice president for 8 years.
And we're not going to hold that against you.
And we won't hold it. I hope not.
No, of course we won't. But it just goes with the territory, right?
It, being it does in that go business, with the territory. Right? And you know, the experience of being able to be in the finance area obviously helped me in the business when
Absolutely.
I finally joined my dad.
Yeah. So 8 years in Florida?
8 years in Florida. We moved to Florida in 1972.
Right. So that's
Florida is home.
Right, right. So you, your degree was in business?
Yes.
So
yes,
you went to college, but you had this parallel path the whole time.
Music was always part of my life.
Right. How did the worlds weave together? You know, there, in other words, we know that the business degree probably really helped running a music business. But how else? And I ask this question because a large part of our work at the NAMM Foundation is reaching out to college music students and helping them understand the variety of paths that are available to them as they move forward with this core competency that they've dedicated to being a good musician, right? So how does this, how do these worlds blend?
And so the discipline of being a musician holds true for any other discipline of what you're going to do. The idea of repetition and practice and perfecting something is always, it's always prevalent. And so it just came a point in my life where I had hit the glass ceiling in the bank and I really wasn't going anywhere and wasn't in control of my own destiny. And so it's when I went and talked with my dad, who was possibly considering retirement, saying, hey, do you want to give this a go now? And so
he must have been thrilled.
He was
way deep down.
Yes, absolutely.
And he didn't, you know, he let you have your journey, and you had your journey. And,
correct, and right? It was a good journey. And you know, but the road sometimes ends, or the exit comes up, and you take it. And that's what I did, and was able to take what I loved and apply the things that I knew into this business. Mm-hmm. None of my, my dad did not go to college. He started a business with my mom based on, I can help people. Mm-hmm. And it was quite successful.
And then you put a diesel engine into it, and it's soaring as a major service entity in South Florida.
Thank you.
That's really great. So let's also talk about, you're a seasoned music educator.
I am.
Right? I mean, you're directed ensembles and jazz bands. You're active in the Florida Music Education Association. You've been recognized by the Broward County School Board District as a Partner of the Year, the Florida Music Educators Association Distinguished Service Award, Phi Mu Alpha Symphonia's Charter Class of Signature Symphonians, and the College Earl D. Irons Founders Award. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You've participated in NAMM's Advocacy Flying, and you're part of that. So share what this work means to you and why you've given so much of your professional time to being part of that network and to support music education.
The way we view it is that if you don't give back, you're only taking. And we believe that we need to help our customers, and maybe we need to teach the teachers. And we go out with a mindset of, we have something to offer more than just an instrument or a box of reeds, which you could get pretty much anywhere. So why is our box of reeds worth more than someone else's? Well, we hope it's because of our interactions that are meaningful, to the extent that we're going to help you with your practices. We're going to offer you things that you just can't get, you know, just out of a catalog or calling our store. There has to be more. So we're very hands-on, and we do We do clinics in the school. We're constantly offering advice and being there for our clients to help them become better educators. Mm-hmm. And that's why we do it.
So the partnership has led to some important recognition, right?
Yes.
Which makes you want to be a better partner.
Sure.
Right?
Why not? You know, it was nice of all of those organizations to point us out and decide, yes, we really do like what you're doing and give us a pat on the back. Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's not why we do it.
Right. And you continue to go on with the work and refine the work
There's always a need, and there's always a greater need for some than others.
I'm kind of thankful what you've just said, because I actually had to do a on-tape work for a meeting that's coming up. And I opened up my statements by saying, you know, in this business of music, it's all that we work with people. And I kept thinking about it. I said, boy, that was a very simple place to start. But it's the essence of the strategy of the work. You know, if we can't recognize truly what we're carrying, which is bringing music to the people and bringing people to music and connecting networks and people and to the essence of their own creativity and expression.
Ours is literally a hands-on business. Right. In a world of high tech, I like to think we're high touch still. I mean, everything we do needs to be touched. Our product needs to be touched, and people need to listen, and they need to repeat it.
And learning is a very high touch.
Correct. Right, and the process, there's really no shortcut to what we're doing to be able to teach music. And for teachers out there who may be frustrated by the process itself, because everything else is so quick in life, when you can
or
pick out your phone.
Quick.
Well,
feels
yes.
Quick.
And, right. You know, you can right. you can get the information you need at literally the touch of a button, but there's no retention. And so sometimes it becomes frustrating for those who haven't been doing the process long enough to understand or remember that this is the process you yourself used in order to get where you were. Recognize that in your young students and help them along with that process. That's where the success comes in.
That's so well put. You know, and when we talk about to our policy folks and our advocacy, I use the word rigor a lot. You know, this is the process of making music. The benefits can't be achieved unless you're doing it.
Right.
The process is rigorous.
It's quite rigorous.
Right.
Right. And there just is no shortcut. Yes, I guess there are some students out there that might be a little bit more talented in the sense that they grasp it sooner. But that's like anything else in life.
Yeah.
But if the whole group is going to get it, it's going to take time.
Yeah. So I can't be sitting here with you without going a little bit into the reality of what you experienced in your school, the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. You were actually directed the jazz band there for a time.
I did.
And the profound realities, what happened just a year ago.
Yeah, it's really left its mark on everyone.
Your children went to this school, right?
Yes.
This is your community.
This is our community. This is home for us. And the school itself is only about 9 miles away from our store, but we do live in Parkland, and our children did go to Douglas. And a few years before that, the band director, who was there for over 2 decades, had passed away, and he was a good friend of mine. And when that happened, I went in that year and took over one of the jazz band directors, because it needed to be done. The students knew me there because, you know, our son went to school there. My wife and I were in charge of the band parent organization. But they also knew me as, you know, Mr. Schiff, the guy who owns All County Music and helped them fit with their first instrument. Right. So there was a deep connection. And so to be able to go in and help these students because of my good friend and keep his quality and his vision going was very important while they had an interim director until they could hire someone else mm-hmm. who took over the next year. So yeah, every day I went into school and I taught jazz band.
So how has music helped the community move forward, if it's possible to move forward, but to actually heal in layers of healing that are occurring?
The layers of healing really, as you listen to the parents who lost children or the wives or the other parents who lost adult children and the children that were injured. Healing is in its infancy. I don't know how they cope. I know one father And I don't know how he gets out of bed every day, mm-hmm. but he does. And he is an advocate for safe schools. And he is pushing his agenda to make it safer for all children. And, you know, everyone is dealing with this in their own way. None of it easy.
None of it easy.
None of it easy.
But the musical life of those children continued, right?
The musical life is what healed those students who were involved in band. Two of the students who were killed were in the band program. One was in the guard and did the rifles and the flags, mm-hmm. and the other one was Alex Schachter, was a trombone player. And they were both freshmen in the band. So they were just starting their journey with that organization. And just like everybody else, they loved it. After the shooting, the high school had been scheduled to play at Carnegie Hall. You know, they had that on the agenda for over a year. And it just so happened that 2 weeks after the shooting, two and a half weeks after the shooting, was when they were scheduled to go to Carnegie. And they had to get special permission to go back into the school, because the school was still closed, to get their instruments out so they could actually make the trip. And I had the opportunity to go there, and it was one of the most emotional concerts that, you know, we'd ever been to.
Right.
And so a lot of those students in that band were freshmen in my jazz band who are now seniors in that band.
Yeah.
So it was great to be with them.
Yeah, it was a journey for all of us and unfathomable. We're so sorry, and we continue to be concerned for you, Fred, but we also know that you are in essence sort of a musical first responder, right?
The music has helped that family help. You know, mm-hmm. it has moved them. It's allowed them to go back into that school with a purpose. Mm-hmm. And they play wonderfully, and they responded in a way where you could crumble, mm-hmm. and nobody would say, oh, that's a bad thing, but they did not. They really continued to hone their abilities and play at unbelievable levels of musicianship and competencies, and it's been their safe haven.
The song goes on.
Yeah, it does.
Well, thank you, Fred, for, I guess I would say, being there for all of us. Because again, we were all struggling. How do we respond? How do we care? How do we lift up? And you were really shouldering a lot. And
so in that segue of how do we respond, in a few weeks, we were going to introduce something very special. And it took us a while to develop and design the idea of how do you respond after something like this. And quite frankly, after the shooting, the rest of the world took Parkland into its arms, mm-hmm. and just took care of the community, which was very much needed and for which I'll always be grateful. It took us a while to decide what All County Music would do as a company to help with this process and honor, you know, those who may have passed. So what we did is I called John Stoner at Con Selmer, and I asked him, would you be willing to partner with us in a very special trombone? And we've developed and designed a trombone in Alex Schachter's honor. And on that trombone, Alex's name is inscribed, and within the trombone itself, and there's a special case badge that goes on it. And we are going to be giving away 50 trombones to 50 different students in 50 different schools throughout South Florida in the coming months to recognize Alex and have other students realize and recognize that they have the ability to play music, and they're doing it for Alex in a physical sense because his presence is going to be with them. And I think that's the best way we can honor this young man, is to allow others to continue to make the music that he loves so much and to be touched by it as well. And we're looking forward to starting this project and completing it and having people be included in what's good about our world.
How can people follow this on your website? Can they follow your activity for this?
Yes, it will. And it'll be on our All County Music Facebook page.
Okay. AllCountyMusic.com. Just tell us your website address.
It is AllCountyMusic.com and Facebook / All County Music.
Great. Let's be sure. We'll boost that along the way.
Great.
So, last question. What's happening here today, Thursday, that we've been working on for a while? We've been hatching, kind of singing under our breath, take me out to the ball game. Who's got the Cracker Jacks? Who's got the Yankee shirt? What are we doing here?
So this is unbelievable. I'm a lifelong baseball fan. And when I was 10 years old, I was a Yankee bat boy. And a few years ago at the first fly-in that I went to, there's Bernie Williams.
10 years with NAM on the Hill advocating for music education this year.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable commitment.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And to think that a guy, you know, could hit a baseball 400 feet and
both sides of the plate.
And track down, I don't know how many, a six-time All-Star and a three-time World Champion.
Four-time World Series.
There we go. Yeah.
16 years, Yankee. Yeah.
You know, to spend your life in pinstripes and then say, hey, you know what? It's not the only thing I'm good at.
Or what made me good at this started earlier.
Right.
And it was
And I think it goes back to, if you'd ask him, the rigors of the practice of trying to make something better and better and better, and there's no shortcut to it.
So who are we talking about
here? I think we're talking about Bernie Williams, right? or anybody else for that matter, who wants to do something.
Right.
And
he's here.
And he's here, and we finally got him.
He's also on the board at the NAM Foundation.
You see, you're just dropping all of this stuff.
Sorry,
on me.
Well.
This is good.
Yeah.
So Bernie is going to be doing a session with Joe Lamond this afternoon and
our president, CEO of NAM.
Right.
Also on the NAM Foundation board.
Going to be talking to Bernie about his journey through music and baseball and back to music. But what I'm looking forward to most of all is that Bernie is going to be playing with the National Association of School Music Big Band.
Big Band.
And which I've been
conducting this afternoon.
For, I don't know, 10, 12 years now. And we will have our rehearsal at 2:30 this afternoon. And we will play a concert at 6 o'clock tonight. And Bernie will be there playing with the members.
He's holding down the rhythm section.
Right? He's got his guitar in hand.
Yeah.
And he's going to be playing Freddie Green for us.
Wow.
You know, that's.
Yeah, we were cooking this up for a while, and we're just so glad this year it worked really
Did work. And what I'm really pleased about is that since Bernie is this advocate for music education, National Association of School Music Dealers are tremendous advocates. And I thought it was only proper that somewhere along the line that we had Bernie meet this organization.
Yeah, and this inspiration just sort of has a chance to congeal.
Correct.
Right? And our work at the NAM and the NAM Foundation is to build and, you know, strengthen this network of support for music education. So it's a perfect moment for us too. Yeah,
it's great. I think we're going to hit it out of the park.
Yeah, well, you've been waiting to say that for a half an hour. That's great. Any final thoughts, Fred? Thank you so much for being here and sharing your journey.
It was my privilege. It was my pleasure.
That's great. And we thank you for joining us for this episode of Talking at Music Education with Fred Schiff, the National Association for School Music Dealers. It can be hard when you just can't say NASDEM or NASMD, which we all say. But thanks for joining us. Thank you for all your help in keeping music education strong everywhere.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. Nam. That's Mary L. N. A. M. M.